In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in agony of soul to his Father. Then he was ready to face his enemies and drink the cup of suffering and death that awaited him at Calvary. Entirely submitted to the will of God, he waited with calm assurance, knowing that Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, had betrayed him to the Jewish authorities. The other disciples had been unable to watch and pray with Jesus during their Lord's hours of anguish. Instead of praying, they had slept, overcome with fatigue and grief, and were therefore unprepared for the time of trial that lay ahead. Jesus had often met with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, so the traitor knew where to find him. Late that evening, Judas came to the olive grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers with a crowd of temple guards and officials that the chief priests and Pharisees had sent. They came, carrying torches and lanterns, and armed with swords and clubs, to take Jesus into custody. Judas had arranged a signal with the soldiers to make sure there would be no mistake. "The one I kiss is the man," he told them. "Arrest him and lead him away under guard." On arrival, Judas at once went to Jesus and kissed him, saying, "Peace be with you, Rabbi." The Lord replied, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then he went towards the armed guards and asked, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," the Lord said, while Judas stood there looking on. When Jesus said, "I am he," the soldiers drew back and fell to the ground. These words, confirming the Lord's identity, also proclaimed his deity, as Christ, being God, was the great I Am, a name that God gave himself in the Old Testament. The power of this name made these men fall to the ground. Again the Lord asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Christ answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken in his intercessory prayer would be fulfilled, because he had said, "I have not lost one of those you gave me." When the Lord's followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" For they had two swords with them. Just then the guards came forward to take hold of Jesus. Peter drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Jesus said to him, "Enough, put your sword back in its sheath, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Shall I not drink the cup of suffering the Father has given me? And do you not think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" Then he touched the man's ear and healed him. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to the guards and officials who had come for him, "Did you have to come with swords and clubs to capture me, as though I were an outlaw? Day after day I was with you in the temple courts, teaching, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when the power of darkness prevails." All this took place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled, for Jesus had warned his disciples that the scripture saying he was to be numbered with transgressors had to come true. Then all the disciples deserted Jesus and fled. It happened that a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment had been following Jesus. When the soldiers took hold of him, he left his garment behind and fled naked. Then the guards, with their commander and the Jewish officials, took Jesus, bound him, and led him away to the house of the high priest, while Peter followed at a distance. Next episode, the trials of Jesus and Peter's denial.